Daflamid Ches. Moshe Rabbeinu did not become wealthy except via the chips that were left over when he carved out the second luchais. As Hashem told him, Psal lecha shnei luchais avanim kari shenim. The lecha is that he got to keep the extra chips from the luchais, and with that he became wealthy. The Torah was originally written just for Moshe Rabbeinu and his children, but Moshe was gracious and he gave it to all of Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only allows his Shechina to rest on a person who is wise, strong, rich, and modest. These are characteristics that a Navi has to have, as we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. You could ask, why do we require strength and wealth in a Navi? What do these have to do with Ruchnius? The Marsha explains that although wealth, wisdom, and strength are not traits indicative of a prospective prophet's character, they're nevertheless necessary attributes of a Navi. Since a person with these qualities is generally looked up to, rightly or wrongly, only such a man can instill on the people the awe needed to deliver Hashem's message. The Ben Yehoyada disagrees. He says that these external physical factors like wealth and strength cannot be requirements for such an esteemed spiritual position as Navius. The Gemara should instead be read to mean that to be a Navi, one must be strong, wealthy, wise, and nevertheless humble also. If one can retain his humility in such an elevated position, then he's truly fit to be a Navi. The Rambam explains the qualities mentioned here in this Gemara symbolically. The candidate for Nevuah must be wise through the study of Torah, and his strength consists of the ability to stand firm against his Yetzer Hara. The Kesef Mishnah adds that his riches lay in the fact that he's happy with what he has in life. Ezehu Ashir HaSameach Bechalkai. The luchais, the Gemara says, were 6x6 tfachim in size, and the width was 3, i.e. they were heavy and solid stone, and since Moshe threw them, he must have been very, very strong. Rav and Shmuel said, there are 60 sharei bina created in this world, and 49 of them were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was created slightly less chashav than a malach, who had all 50, so he was obviously a very big chacham. Rabbi Yochanan said, all the Nevi'im were rich, and after the Nevuah, they became even wealthier, as Rav Shlomo Kluger explains. At the beginning, Moshe was forgetting the Torah he learned on Har Sinai until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it all to him b'matana. Mishnah. Someone who is mudr hanah from Reuven can feed Reuven's wife and children, even though he's giving hanah to Reuven, since now Reuven won't have to feed the people he's normally mechuyev to feed, i.e. his wife and children. But you can't feed his animals. According to Rabbi Eliezer, he can feed a behema tamea, but not a behema tahira. And the Gemara says, if one is mudr hanah from Reuven, he is allowed to marry off Reuven's daughter. Rabbi Yaakov says, if someone made a neder he doesn't want to have hanah from his son, so as not to disturb his Torah learning, the son is still allowed to bring him water or light a candle for him. If he's mudr hanah from Reuven, he can still pour a kais for Reuven, while Reuven is an avel because of darkei shalom. The next Mishnah. If someone was mudr hanah from Reuven, and he goes to Vizbein, who is sick, who is a chayla, he can only go into the room standing, but not sitting, because then he's getting the full hanah of the mitzvah of Bikur Chaylam. And he can also heal Reuven, since Rafu, of course, is mutter, but he can't pay for Reuven's medical treatment. Daklamates, the Gemara. Visiting a sick person is a question, because the visitor will get hanah, which is aser. The Ran asks, why should this be aser? We say mitzvah lav lehenes nitnu. So why should this be called hanah? Rabbi Shlomo Kluger answers and says that the bikur, the visiting, really is the hanah. But while a person walks through the house, he sees the picture and so on hanging in the house, therefore he could get some hanah from that. Reish Lakish says, there's a remez in the Torah to the mitzvah of bikur chaylam. By the way, the Rambam points out that there are many special mitzvahs that fall under the mitzvah of yahavta l'reicha kameicha, and our mitzvahs are rabbanan. This includes nichum avelim, hachnasas kala, and bikur chaylam. So technically you really don't need a pasuk, because according to this Rambam, if v'ahavta l'reicha kameicha comes to include bikur chaylam, it's already included midaraisa. But here, nonetheless, the pasuk here that's brought down is in Bamidbar Perek Tesayin, im kemais kol adam yemusum elo. This is learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem said that he would punish Karach by putting him in Gehenna, and if Gehenna didn't exist, he would create it especially for Karach. Aye, but didn't we already learn from a brisa in Pesachim, seven things were created They were Eila b'machshava. The concept was created in Hashem's mind before Hashem created the world. What were the seven things? Torah, Tshuva, Gan Eden, Gehenim, Kisei HaKavod, Beis HaMikdash, and Shmai Shel Mashiach. So Gehenim was already created before the Maisa Karach. So what was this whole thing that it would especially be created for Karach? The Gemara answers, Maisa was referring to the mouth of Gehenim that yet wasn't created. The Maral explains that the Shmai Shel Mashiach, created before Briyas HaOlam, wasn't the exact name of who Mashiach will be, but rather what the specific qualifications of Mashiach need to be. Rabbi Yosef says, the mitzvah of Bikur Chaylim has no shir. In other words, there's no shir to Matan Schara, no measure to the level of reward. Or this means that a great person must visit a smaller person who is sick, the same way a small person visits a chashuv person. And we see this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Avraham Avinu, that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was much greater than Avraham Avinu, he went to be Mavakar Chayla by Avraham Avinu. The Gemara says, for all mitzvahs, a person should anticipate unlimited amount of rewards. As we learned in Avais, Havizar b'mitzvah kala kibichamura, she'ena tayadea matan scharan shel mitzvahs. Rava says, a person can be Mavakar Chayla even 100 times a day. Rab Abba Rab Chanina says, anyone who is Mavakar Chayla takes away 1/60th of the suffering that the sick person has. I said, and just send in 60 people, and you could heal them completely. If one person takes 1/60th away, bring in 60 people, and the person will be healed completely. The Gemara answers, the first person heals 1/60th, and the next person heals 1/60th of what's left. So actually, it's almost impossible to get it down to zero. Similar to the inheritance by a ksuba, that also it's just that one of the brothers gets a piece of it, and the other brothers or sisters get the portion of what's left over. Also, this 1/60th heal rule only works if the visitor was born in the same mazel as the sixth person, Ben Giloy, as it's referred to. The Gemara says, when Reb Chelbai became sick and no one came to visit him, Reb Kahana told over to everyone how Rabbi Akiva used to go and visit Chaylim, and many people were saved because of the mitzvah that he did. Dafman. Rabbi Akiva went out and was darish that any person who doesn't go to be Mavakar Chaylim, it's like he shayfech damim. And Rav Dimi adds that anyone who is Mavakar Chaylim causes that he should live, because he helps him with tefillah, he helps to cheer up the person who's sick. But if he isn't Mavakar Chaylim, he causes him to die by not taking care of him. When one is Mavakar Chaylim, he feels for the Chaylim, and then he's Mispal Tashem, which helps in improving the refuah. Rav says, any person who is Mavakar Chaylim is Nitzel Midina Shel Gehenim, saved from the tribulations of Gehenim. Also, he'll be praised by people and will not have Yisurim. The Gemara says, if young people tell you to build and old people tell you to destroy, you should listen to the older people because they have more life experience, so they know really what to do better than a young person knows what to do. A person should not go to visit a chayla early or late in the day, since early you really need to be mispal at that time of the day. And later on in the day, a chayla feels his worst, so you don't want to bother him at that time. Ravin Amar Rav says, we know that Hashem helps to strengthen a chayla, and his shechina rests on top of a bed of a chayla. So if someone goes to visit a chayla, he shouldn't sit above him since the shechina is resting there. As background to the next Gemara, a natural spring is called a mayan. A man-made pit, which is filled with water, is called a mikveh. Both can be used for the purposes of tefillah. If the water inside of them had been held in a receptacle, i.e. they're called mayim she'uvim, then this particular pit is not kosher l'tefillah. However, there are differences between a mayan, a natural spring, and a mikveh, a man-made pit. A natural spring can be metahir both if the water is sitting still and if the water is flowing, if the water is zeichelin. However, a man-made pit, a mikveh, can only be used if the water is sitting still, bashbiren, not if the water is flowing, i.e. not if the water is zeichelin. Rivers are generally assumed to have a mayan as their source. Nara, mikifya, Misbarach. And since they have Mayan as their source, therefore the water coming from the river is basically sourced from natural sources which are underneath the river. Therefore, they can be used at any time unless most of the water that is sitting in this river comes from rainwater. Then if Roiva the water is rainwater, and since we know rainwater cannot be Metahir B'Zeichelin, then it can't be Zeichelin because it's more of a mikveh than it is a Mayan. And the Gemara says, Ravin Amar Rav says, when there is rain in Eretz Yisrael, you can tell this since the paras, the river, swells. And when this happens, much of the water in this river doesn't come from natural springs, but from the rainwater. and then it is pasal b'zeichelim, and you wouldn't be able to be tovel in it, because rainwater is pasal b'zeichelim. Shmuel argues, and says, even if a river swells, most of the swelling does not come from the rainwater above, but rather it comes from the springs below, and spring water is kosher b'zeichelim. So tefillah in that situation, even though there's a lot of rainwater, would be mutter. Avua de Shmuel used to make mikvais for his daughters in Nisan to be used until Tishrei. After that, when the rainy season began, he wouldn't let them use the mikvais, i.e. to go into these mikvahs, these man-made mikvahs, since there was a chashash that most of the water would be rainwater, and therefore pasul b'zeichelin if it's flowing. And during the tefillah, he used to make mats for them to keep mud off their feet to prevent chatzitza, and he used to put them up so people wouldn't see them, i.e. for tznius purposes. Rabbeinu Tam paskins like Shmuel, that a river can be used for tefillah, since most of the water in a river comes from a mayan, comes from the natural spring, not from rainwater, which is pasul b'zeichelin. Other Rishonim argue on this and say that it's mutter. In Simen Reish Ayin, Sif Aleph, the Rama is makel like Rabbeinu Tam, especially in a place where no mikveh exists, even during the rainy season. Daf Mem Aleph. In the Teichacha, it says that Klal Yisrael will be lacking everything. This includes lacking a ner, a candle, a shulchan, a wife, a servant, wisdom, and salt and oil. Abaye said, poverty only exists vis-a-vis wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, you have nothing. If you have wisdom, i.e. you have chachma, it's like you have everything. The Gemara says a person does not get better from a sickness until HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives him for all of his averus that he did. A person who becomes ill forgets a lot of his learning, as we saw from Rabbi Yosef, who became sick. So Abaye had to remind him of certain Torahs that he forgot. The Gemara says, the miracle of a person who was saved from a disease is greater than the miracle of Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, who were saved from the fire, since a fire can be extinguished by a human being, but a fire of disease, which is burning within a person, can only be extinguished by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. When the end of a person's time has come, anyone and anything has the ability to overtake him, as we see from the pasuk in Tilim, Kufyotes, Lemishpatacha Amdu Hayyim. Rebbe used to learn each Mishnah 13 different ways, and he would teach Rebbe Chiya 7 different ways. So when Rebbe forgot some of the Torahs that he had learned, Rebbe Chiya would teach it to him. The Gemara says there was a Maisa where a donkey reached a narrow bridge, got very scared, and the donkey threw the rider off and killed him, even though the rider was very big and very strong. I.e. when a person's time comes, even a little donkey can kill a very big and strong man. The Gemara says one should not be mevaker chela, someone who has stomach trouble, eye trouble, or headaches, since the person being visited will be ashamed to be visited in that type of a condition. Barley is good for a sick person, and a fever protects a sick person's body. One shouldn't refer to the disease boredom by that name, since then, when it's referred by that name, the Malach HaMavis hears that name, then the Malach HaMavis gets stronger. The Gemara says, if Reuven is Mudr Hana from Shimon, he can heal him by playing the role of a doctor, Refuas HaNefesh, but he cannot give him money for the purpose of Refuah, i.e. Refuas Mamon. We know, by the way, that the mitzvah of Refuah is learned from the Pasuk in Shmos Chaf Aleph, as it's brought in the Gemara in Baba Kama, Rak Shifta Yitain V'Rapoy Yirape. Tana de Berab Yishmal Mikan Shenitna Rishus L'Rayfe L'Rapois. From here we learn that a doctor has permission to heal people. The Rambam brings a different Pasuk of Ahashay Vaisalai. That's the Pasuk we learn Refuah from. And the Ramban says we learn the mitzvah of Refuah from the Pasuk of Yahafta L'Reacha Kamecha, the Mishnah. If someone is mudr hana from his friend, he can bathe with him only in a big tub, not in a small tub, since one will give pleasure to the other by causing the water in a small tub to rise. The Gemara says, Rameir is also geyser, that you can't sleep in any bed with him, because the warmth of his body would provide hana. The next Mishnah. If one was mudr hana from a friend, they cannot eat together either. The Gemara says they can't work together either, since one who softens the ground by the digging makes it easier for the other person to dig further, and therefore he would be getting or giving hana. Daf Mem Beis, the Mishnah. If someone made a neder before Shvius that Reuven can't have hana from his field, so Reuven can't have hana from the field, and the fruits and the overhanging fruits. And the Gemara says, if you're mudr hana from Reuven before Shavuos, according to Rav and Shmuel, even once Shavuos begins, Reuven still cannot eat the fruits. But according to Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish, Reuven can't go to the field since it belongs to you. But Reuven can eat the peres, since the peres don't belong to you during Shavuos. Since they hold, Ein Adam Eiser Davar Shebir Susai, L'kisha Yatza Mir Susai. A person cannot ask for something that is now in his Rishus for the period of time that it will go out of his Rishus. If a man makes a neder that his son cannot have Hana from him, once he dies, the son can have Hana, since it automatically falls out of the father's Rishus by way of Yerusha. On Shemitah, land is considered Hefker, but only for people to enter to take food and eat, or stay there while they are eating, according to Rashi, the Mishnah. If someone is mudr hana from his friend, you can lend anything to him, but you can't borrow from him. Also, he can't buy or sell from him. Daf Mem Gimel. If you're lending him an item, what hana are you getting that would be usur? Abaye answers, it was a gzera. Once it was usur to borrow, Chazal made a gzera not to lend either, so as not to encourage favors in return. The Mishnah. If Reuven says he's mudr hana from Shimon, and Shimon now needs food, so Reuven can go to the storekeeper and say, Eini yodea malasis, I don't know what to do. This person needs to eat. He can then give the storekeeper food, and the storekeeper can then give the food to Shimon. Since there was no legal agreement between Reuven and the storekeeper, technically, the chenvedi, the storekeeper, can do whatever he wants with the food that Reuven gave him. All of this is mutter as long as there's a middleman. But according to Rabbi Yossi, if there's no middleman, you can't just make the food hefker in order to get it to Shimon. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi is machmer, since he holds that hefker kematana. And if you make it hefker and someone takes it, it's like you give the person matana, since it remains in the Rishus Bal Rishon until the second person makes a kinyan. Therefore, it's like you're giving him hana. If a person was about to die, and he gave half of his nechasim to Reuven, and then all of his nechasim to Shimon, which is obviously a contradiction, once he gave half his nechasim to Reuven, he can't give all of them to Shimon, then we say Reuven is kinda the half that he was given, but Shimon gets nothing. The Gemara says that if someone makes his field hefker, which is a loophole, so he would be putter from taking off meiser, and then later on he can just take it right back and he'll have the patur of meiser. So for the first 3 days that he did this, he can change his mind, and the field will then revert back to him, i.e. hefker was never chal. After 3 days, he can't just change his mind. Daf Mem Dalet. If someone makes something hefker for a period of time, as long as someone else wasn't zeiche in the field, he can retract. But once someone was zeiche in it, you cannot retract. According to Rabbi Yossi, the pshat is that even when you make something hefker, it remains in your rishus until someone else has actually been kainit. The Chachamim hold that hefker is absolute, and is chal immediately when a person says, this is hefker, and then it leaves his rishus. The Gemara attempts to identify if this brisa is like the Chachamim or like Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbah, in this case, midaraisa, hefker is not chal. But there was a gzeira midarabanan to prevent ramayin, people's tricks, i.e. to keep someone from making it hefker, just to avoid having to give meiser, and then taking it right back afterwards. If someone makes a field hefker, and then he went to harvest a field, which showed bilus, he's putter for meiser, but he's mechuyev in all other gifts to the aniyim, i.e. shikcha and peya. Daf Mem Hei. According to Rabbi Yechanan, in order to make a chalois of hefker, it must be done in front of at least 3 people, so it will become public knowledge, and people could go and take it, because now it's hefker. But according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, midaraisa, you need only 1 person to see this. But midarabanan, you need 3 people, 1 to be zeicha, and 2 to be the edim of this person being zeicha in it. The Rambam holds that you can only be mafker something if at least 1 person is present. The Achrayim ask on this, so why then don't you need someone present when you're mafker chametz before Pesach? The Shalmei Nedarim answers from the Ran in Psachim that really chametz shouldn't belong to a person, since we say Yisuri Hana Einai Birshusai Shal Adam. But Asahu Akasev Ki Iluhu Birshusai. Because there is Akasev, we determine that it is in his Rishus. So it doesn't take such a strong kinyan, i.e. an aid, to get rid of it, even according to the Rambam. This marks the end of this perek. Now let's begin the 5th perek, HaShutfin, from the Mishnah. If 2 shutfin, and these are shutfin partners in a chatzar, they're mudr hana from each other, both become usur from walking through the chatzar, since the whole courtyard is jointly owned. And you don't know who's walking through whose. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, since part of the chatzar belongs to Reuven, and part of the chatzar belongs to Shimon, each can walk into the half that belongs to him, but not into the half that belongs to his partner. Now, how do you know which half belongs to who? If they're really partners in the whole field, how do you determine who owns what? The Ran explains that this machlekes is based on the machlekes if we hold yesh brera or ein brera. If eventually something can be divided, can I do something now with the understanding that if and when it's going to be divided, it had been divided lechatchila along these lines right from the start? In other words, something is huvera davar lamafreya, that's even though we don't actually make the chalukah till later, but you could say that when we make the chalukah later, it's as if that's how I would have wanted it a week ago when I actually needed to make the chalukah. The Chachamim say ein brera, but according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we say huvera davar lamafreya, who owned which half beforehand, i.e. yesh brera, so each can go into his respective half. Daf Mem Vav, continuing in the Mishnah. If one is mudir hanah from his friend, that person cannot go into the other's field. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he can go in because we say yesh brera, since he can say, I'm going into my part. If Reuven is mudir hanah from Shimon, and Shimon rents it to Levi, but still retains some form of bailus, this is referred to as tfisas yad, so Reuven cannot use it, since Shimon still has some shaychus. He has some of this tfisas yad. But if Shimon gave it over 100% to Levi, then Reuven can have some hana. The Gemara. Rabbah says that the machloikis of yesh brera or ein brera is only by a field which is yesh by chaluka. That's it's shaykh to be divided into your half and my half. But if it's ein by chaluka, i.e. it's too small to be divided, then everyone, even the chachamim, will be maida that we say yesh brera, and we're makel, since no one would be makpid if you stand anywhere on that person's field. The maskana is that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and we say yesh brera. Interesting to point out, in general, we paskin by midaraisas, by daraisadika rules, we say ein brera. But by midarabanans, we say yesh brera. So by daraisa, we say ein brera. By midarabanan, we say yesh brera. I say, how can we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov over here? So Rabbi Natam says, we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov due to yesh brera, but rather we paskin like him and we're makel, since small things like walking on a person's property is not considered hana at all. It's not considered any hana. That's why even if one is mudr hana, it's okay to walk on the other person's field. Vitur mutr b'mudr hana. Rabbeinu Yitzchak disagrees, since we usually say vitur osur b'mudr hana. But he says even midaraisa, we paskin yesh brera. Daf Mem Zayin. If a person says to his son, I don't want you to have hana from me, so once he dies, the son does Yarshan and can't have hana. But if the father says, I'm making a neder that you can't have hana now or after I die, then he can't have hana from his father's nechasim after his death, since we say, Adam oiser davar shebershusai l'kesheyatza mershusai. A person can ask for something now for later, even if that item will have gone out of his reshus later. The Gemara says, if I ask for some peris on Reuven, if I exchange these peris for other peris, can Reuven now use these new peris or not? My answer is it's mutter, since the transfer of an iser onto new items can only work if in cases we're talking about avodah zarah or shvius, but in other cases that would not apply. And finally we say if a person is mekadesh bi'arla, peris which are in the first 3 years, which are asur to have hana from, so the kedushin is not chal, so the peris have no worth, they're peris of arla. The next mishnah. If someone says to his friend, I am upon you like cherem, i.e. all hanah from me is usur to you, so he can't have hanah from me. If I said, you are to me cherem, then the maker of the neder cannot have hanah. But the person who's usur can have hanah in things that were set up for all of Klal Yisrael, i.e. wells for the people who went up to be oile regel, then those types of things you would be able to have hanah from, because these are not things that have to deal with the person themselves, these are things that have to do with the public. Since they are not shutfin in these things, but rather these are all public facilities. Therefore, since they're not shutfin, he is allowed to have hana. But the Isra of Neder would apply to local city institutions, for example, the shul, since they, the two of them, are actual partners in the shul, so the hana would be real if he actually gets hana from the shul. So what's the Eitzah? A person has to go to shul to daven. The Eitzah for these people is to write over their chelek of the shul that they own to someone else. Then they can use it. Daf Mem Ches. Taisvis asks, why can't the Beis HaKnesses be mutter via just simply saying yesh brera? If you say yesh brera, then it would be mutter. What do you have to go and give the chelek over to somebody else? Taisvis answers, since the purpose of the Beis
medrash of the Beis HaKnesses isn't to separate people's chelik, but rather to bring them together, to be mispal as a minyan. Therefore, it's like achdus, and therefore it is like getting hana from one to the other, and yesh brera would not apply. For that, you cannot say huver hadavar l'mafreya, that each person's chelik becomes separated. And the Gemara says, the anshei golil were very hot-tempered, so this problem of making charamim was very common. So all their chalakim were written to the nasi, the Mishnah. If a person is mudr hana from his friend, say from Levi, and the friend has no food, so Reuven should give it to Shimon, and let Shimon give it to Levi. The Gemara, for this kula to work, it must be a real and sincere matana, not just a trick or a matana almanas lahachzer. And finally, we say there's a machlokes if someone can be kaina something only for the purpose of transferring it to someone else. This marks the end of this perek, and Yitzhak Shem on the next tape, we will begin the sixth perek, Hanayder Min HaMevoshel.